Now, I know as teachers, one of the perennial challenges is, you know, how do you keep the kids' interest, and what do you do with kids who are acting out? Okay. Well, like I said, if you can create an exercise where it's interactive, the kids are going to be able to pay attention longer. Also, be aware of the age group you're with. Young children cannot sit still for a long time. They can't pay attention for a long time. So you have to think of a series of different activities, you know, whereby you lead them in changing their attention. And because kids have a lot of physical energy, make sure that you have a stretch time in class, okay, where you all stand up and you stretch and you do something, yeah? Because if you build in what I call wiggle times, then you're going to be able to hold their attention during non-wiggle times better. Okay, and this is what I do with adults, you know. Those of you who come to the workshop tomorrow, you'll see that there's a certain time I say, okay, everybody wiggle. Right now, everybody wiggle. This is your 2 minutes to wiggle. Yeah, and then when you get done wiggling, then we're going to sit and meditate, or then we're going to do this. So, you know, you do that. You make sure, depending upon the age group of the children, that you give enough, you know, enough short little breaks like this where they can wiggle or they can stretch, or maybe you do, you know, some walking meditations like they do in the Chan Monastery. You ever seen that? Where you walk around in a circle and you walk very, very quickly. Yeah? And you teach the kids that kind of walking meditation. So this is what you do in a Chan monastery. You meditate and then you stand up, and you know how they have the big zendo, the big meditation hall? Then you walk in a circle, everybody together, you know, and you walk very, very quickly. Yeah? And you swing your arms a lot. Yeah? So it's very vigorous and everybody does it together. So you have all the kids going around really fast together. And then you ring a bell, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you freeze, and then you walk very slowly back to your seat and sit down. Okay? So you lead the kids in doing something physical that helps them release some of that energy. Okay? That's a good thing. Like I said before, do some chanting from time to time in the middle of a session, you know? Yeah, bring them together, you know. Let's chant, you know, Om Mani Padme Hum for a little bit. Or have them make up a dance to Om Mani Padme Hum or Namo Kwan Shien Pusa. You know, get the kids to use their creative abilities in this way. Also, be aware that lots of times you're dealing with kids who may have certain learning disabilities that haven't been recognized yet. You know, there may be kids with attention deficit disorder, ADD. You know, I don't know if people are talking about that here. You know, or there may be kids who are dyslexic, who, you know, instead of writing a B, they write a D. You know, so instead of criticizing the kids, realize, okay, here, you know, this is a very common learning disorder. You might need to talk to the parents. And, you know, the child may need a little bit of help with this particular thing. Or if they're attention deficit, you know, there's different things to do to help the children, you know, learn to control their energy. Yeah? So just be aware, and if you need to communicate with a parent about that, do that. Yeah? And if you see that kind of thing happening, instead of saying, oh, this kid is a problem child, just realize, okay, this child has, you know, a learning difficulty that hasn't been recognized yet. It's not that they're a bad human being or a problem child. Also, some children may need glasses. And the reason that they're not able to track the lesson and what you're writing on the board is because they can't see. And nobody's ever thought to take the kid to an optometrist to see if they need glasses. You know, I mean, they've done so many studies about kids who do poorly in school because they can't see, and you know, nobody's ever taken them to get glasses. Or you may have a child maybe who has some hearing difficulty. Yeah? So just try and be sensitive, and instead of labeling people as problem children, just try and see what's going on with them, that maybe if they got some special help, you know, then it could be overcome. Or sometimes children are having problems at home. Now, I remember when I was a teacher, there was one little boy, David, and he was a very bright child and very active, and he was usually okay in class. And then at one point he started acting out, and he would just be very disruptive. And one time he even slammed a door in my face, and I had to call the principal, and I had to call his parents, and I was, you know, really angry at him. And his parents were in the process of getting divorced. You know, if I had understood that, well, of course, you know, when you're 9 years old and your parents are getting divorced, of course you're going to be emotionally upset. Of course you're going to be confused, because your whole family is falling apart. All your security is no longer there. The two adults you love are quarreling with each other, and one of them is moving out. You don't know where you're going to be living and what's happening to you. So of course a kid is going to, you know, their behavior in school is going to change under that circumstance. So I always look back now with regret about how I handled that situation with David, because I think if I had, you know, been more aware or asked him, you know, just what's happening at home? Did something happen at home that's disturbing you? You know, it's something happening in your life that's making you sad or angry, David. Then he could have said, yeah, my mom and dad are getting divorced. And then I could have talked with him a little bit about it. And how do you feel? And, oh, I know that's really hard. And, yeah, it's going to seem like things are uncertain. But, you know, you're a member of the classroom here, and we all really care about you, and I really care about you. You know, and give the child some support when they're going through difficulty at home. You know, and not be a stupid teacher like I was and just think that, oh, this kid is a discipline problem and he needs to be punished and, you know, things like that. I mean, because clearly what he was doing was a call for help. You know, his acting out in the classroom got his parents to pay attention to him, because they weren't paying attention to him. They were too busy with their own trips. Okay? So just be aware, and if a kid is acting out, you know, ask them some questions. You know, did something happen today that made you sad? Or, you know, what's it like at home? What's happening? You know, and try and really listen. Give them some space to talk. And you might learn a lot, and you might be able to offer them some support. Sometimes, you know, a kid might be acting out, but there's nothing special going on at home, you know. And maybe they're a kid with just a lot of energy who likes kind of saying things that make everybody laugh, or, you know, disrupting the classroom or stuff like that. If you make the situation, you know, such with that child, that it's you against them, then it's going to be a power contest. You know, who has control of the classroom? This kid, because who wants to disrupt it and be, you know, belligerent, or who wants to be disruptive and make everybody laugh, or you, the authority figure. So if you buy into their disruptive behavior and set it up as a power struggle, you know, then it's going to be a power struggle. Whereas if a kid is acting out and doing something funny, yeah, if you just laugh too, then, you know, oh, you know, I'm not getting the teacher's attention by being disruptive. The teacher is laughing too. Yeah. Or they do something funny and then you make a joke about it. Yeah. Or you do something funny in relationship to it. Okay? So you do something to change the energy instead of making it a contest between you and the child over who is more powerful. Okay? Or if it's a child who's very disruptive, sometimes what you can do is ask that child to come and be your helper. So instead of the helper being the best child in the class, make your helper the child who is the most disruptive one. Because if you can get that kid on your side, you know? Because a lot of the kids who are being disruptive, what they really want is some attention from an adult in authority who really cares about them. You know? And so you just take that child and you say, please come, you know, I need some help. You pass out the papers, you know, or you're really a good leader. You organize all the children to stack their chairs at the end of class. Yeah? So that child who sometimes is the one who's the problem child who gets everybody else revved up, you put them in charge of cleanup afterwards. And say, okay, you're a leader. You get all the other, you organize the other kids, and get everybody to clean up. Okay, so you take the energy and you flip it, you switch it, instead of just going, you know, oh, I'm the authority, and that kid is challenging my authority. Mm-hmm. You know. Okay, so be creative in your own. Ways in your own experimenting of how to deal with things. And very often, you know, if a kid is acting out, you know, they know how adults react and how authorities react. And if you don't fall into that trap and you do something completely different, the kid is left like, you know, what do I do? So I heard a story once, which I thought was great, and I have to revamp the story because it contains a lot of swear words in it. So let me think about how to revamp it. You know, there was a teacher was telling me one time that they were teaching in the classroom, and one kid said, you know, okay, so this is, I'm changing the words a little bit, you know. You're so mean, you're an old witch, you don't like anybody. and you know, just saying that out in front of the whole classroom to the teacher, you know, you're so mean, you're an old witch, you don't like anybody, and nobody likes you. Yeah, and so the teacher, you know, so of course that's a direct threat to the teacher's authority, right? So the teacher went over to the student and whispered in the student's ear, you know, yes, I might be mean, and I might be a witch, but I like you. And the kid's like, you know? Because it's like totally the opposite thing, yeah? And the teacher's already mean, oh yeah, I might be a witch. I might be a witch, I might be mean, but yeah, I like you. Okay? So, you know, sometimes doing something that's very unexpected, then it breaks the energy. Yeah? Okay? So just, you know, be a little bit creative sometimes how you do things. Okay, so that's just a little bit of, you know, some ideas about teaching Sunday school, and hopefully some tips and things that will be helpful. I really encourage you to gather together as Sunday school teachers and share your experiences and discuss and help each other, because sometimes, you know, other teachers may have dealt with certain situations that you're just dealing with now, or they may have taught a certain subject that you're just beginning to teach now. So really make friends with each other and make some time when you can all sit and socialize together and talk about what's going on and share your experiences and get to know each other and become friends amongst each other. You know, because that can be really, really helpful you know, to how you feel about your work and how supported you feel. Okay, because we all need support, don't we? So you can, you know, support each other and receive support from the larger group of other teachers. And like I said, it's an incredible privilege, really, to think you have these little kids, you know, with their bright little inquisitive open minds, and you have the chance to plant some good seeds in their mind streams. And you know, I didn't meet the Dharma until I was 24, and I feel like, you know, first 24 years just completely samsara. And yeah. And I really wished I could have met the Dharma when I was a child and learned some things, and especially those of you who are teaching teenagers. Yeah, the Dharma is so useful to teenagers. No? Because when you're a teenager, oh, what does everybody think about me? And how do I look? And, you know, what about my parents? And all these kind of issues come up. The Dharma can be so helpful for dealing with these kind of emotional conundrums that teenagers find themselves in. So here you have the opportunity to share the Dharma with these little beings and really profoundly affect their lives in a very positive way. You know? And like I said, really make what you're teaching relevant to their lives. And especially those of you who are teaching teenagers, you know, my little book, Working with Anger. No, that's a language that teenagers could read. No, have them read that and discuss that. And how do these things affect you as you're, you know, going to school? And how do you feel around different kids? And, you know? And then all the messages that kids are getting now about how they should look and about, you know, sex and about this, that, and the other thing. Talk about it with the kids. You know, do you think that what they show on TV is really how life is? Yeah? Do you really think that? No? And bring out their ideas and their life experience. Yeah? Help relate the Dharma values of simplicity and non-attachment and peacefulness to their lives and what they come in contact with. Very important.